The reading for today is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder where the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt water spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. We mix our service with the contemporary songs and the traditional hymns, and some of the traditional hymns, I still scratch my head that in this day and age we haven't updated the wording on some of them. I mean, thee and thy continue instead of yous, but then I realized for a hymn like that, it would have been odd to say you, but at the end have to change it back to thee because you doesn't rhyme with be. Thousand thanks shall be. I don't know if that's where the hymn writers go, but one of these days we're going to get a hymnal that's going to be like we actually talk nowadays, probably. And until then, we rejoice at the words that we have. And words are kind of what I want to talk to you about today, in a sense. Words that come out of our mouths, because they're very, very significant. And the fact that I'm talking to you now, I hope, is going to be significant, that something in what all of the words are that I throw out here today makes a difference for you. And I'm borrowing and yet corrupting the statement from a commercial. It's been out for years in various forms. It was with Vikings. I think nowadays they use this goofy captain kind of guy and Jennifer Garner in these. It's a credit card commercial. And the question is always, what's in your wallet? With the idea that this credit card, whichever credit card that is supposed to, and I don't have it, I know that. Otherwise I might remember the commercial better. But is supposed to be able to provide you better protection, get you better services, do better promotions for you, rewards or whatever the things may be, that it's the one to own. What's in your wallet, they ask, so that you know that you have that security of whatever it is that they're trying to sell you. Well, I wanted to know what's in your mouth, because that's really what our text is dealing with in James, is talking about the tongue and how the tongue works and what the tongue does. And the tongue is a consuming fire. The tongue is really speaking death a lot of the time. The tongue is not our best friend, quite frequently. See, it's not always my best friend either. The tongue is not always our best friend. Quite frequently, it goes the opposite direction of what we should be doing and what we should be thinking, but we speak quickly sometimes. A couple other verses that come into play with what we're saying that are significant, I think, here are Ephesians 4, where it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in Christ God forgave you." And then from Jeremiah 15, "When your words came to me," and this is the prophet speaking about the words of God coming to him, "I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. The Lord says then to the servant, if you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. The word of God here is portrayed as something sweet that we consume, something sweet that we receive into ourselves. But what I struggle with is the idea that here what's going in is something very sweet, but what comes out isn't always so sweet from us. The word of God is coming in to us, and it's something that's refreshing and refueling, revitalizing, restoring. It's forgiving, it's loving, it's a promise. It's all things good. And yet, the problem comes for us that, well, when the mouth opens, the mind closes quite frequently. We get so far ahead of things in our conversations. People are talking, and before they're done talking, we're already thinking about what we want to say in response to something else in there. And we might be so concerned about what we're wanting to say that we're really not listening to what they're saying. Or we're so concerned about getting our two cents in that it doesn't matter what anybody else has to contribute. We've got to get our part in there and let them know. And really, our text reminds us that the tongue becomes like a fire here. It cannot be tamed. We just start speaking. And it's more important that we be heard often than what others are saying for us to hear. And what we also end up doing is talking more about God than we do talking with Him or reading about Him or learning about Him. And if we're not spending as much time reading about God through His holy word, learning about Him, and praying to Him, talking to Him, and we spend so much more time talking about Him, probably what we're saying isn't all about Him. We start interjecting our own ideas of God's work, our own ideas of what God could be, should be doing into the conversations because we're less informed about God than we are about what we want to say about God. There are, depending on what study you look at, and none of them seem to be exact as far as in agreement, they just are all over the board, but how many words a day people speak? Anywhere from 7,000 up to 20,000 or even more for some people that are in the business of talking. And then there are some studies that say that one gender speaks more than the other gender, but not by much, and some say it's a vast difference. So in other words, since they're all not, you know, they're all disagreeing with each other, let's just say that we talk a lot. We do. But in all the things that we say, how many of those words that we speak each day, whether it's 7,000, 20,000, are words worthy of record? How many quotable quotes do we come up with every day? How many good words do we have to say that are really worth paying attention to? And if you don't know, ask your spouse. And they'll say, sit down, shut up. No, just joke, kidding. We do talk. We talk a lot. But are the words that we're saying words worthy of being a Christian? Because now here's where something else comes in. If you're known to be a Christian, if you've got people that you've told them that you are a follower of Jesus, a Christian, a member of such and such church, you're judged by those words. Now, we always have the saying, actions speak louder than words. That's very true. But words are important because that's where it starts. If the words don't match the actions, we're in trouble. But if the words aren't right to begin with, then it's not going to matter what the actions are. And if we're speaking words that go against being that child of God that we are known to be, people notice. And they take note of that. And they not only judge us, but they judge our faith, what we believe in, and our God at times. Because if we're claiming to be Christians and it's okay for us to talk like that, to say things like that, that's a problem. We're talking and we're not thinking about what we're saying much of the time. And there's a first verse in this reading today that actually I'm kind of ignoring for today. But I'm going to bring it up. I've got a meeting of circuit pastors that are going to be here on Tuesday. And I'm going to bring this up with them the same topic, because it says, not many of you should presume to be teachers, because we know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. And that's something that every pastor should be living by, recognizing that the words of God are what we're to be teaching, because we will be judged more severely because it's been placed in us to share this word of God. And if we are sharing it in corruption or twisting it or using it for our own means, we face a judgment for that. So to those pastors, they're going to get that earful on Tuesday. For us, keep in mind, though, that the same affliction that happens to even clergy happens to everyone else. We're all the same. There are times that we're not saying kind things about other people. There are times that we're criticizing other people unfairly. It doesn't mean that we don't point out wrongs, but it does mean that we need to be slower in our judging, slower in our accusations, slower in our criticisms. Look at the model that Jesus gave for us. Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So really, the question comes down, do we speak the truth in love, or do we just love to speak? Do we talk and talk to no avail, or are we putting into practice that which we preach? It's more difficult than just preaching to put it into practice. But we have to start with the words. We have to start with what comes out of our mouths. And most everyone can recite the first commandment. We just did that in confirmation just this week. I've got my soon-to-be confirmation alumni over here, Bailey. He's finished. This is his last time to acolyte for us. Thank you. And for me to publicly point him out like that, he's going, stop talking about me now. All of our confirmands have had to go through this. They learn the commandments, and we spend an entire lesson on each commandment, each one. Just dealt with the first commandment in my new confirmation classes with the seven kids there. And the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Very simple. Is it? It's easy to say, but how easy is it to do? Are we truly, as the meaning of that commandment comes out, you know, fearing, loving, and trusting God above all things? Or do we place our trust in our thoughts, our time, and our devotions, our attention and our finances onto other things than God, and give more to other things in our hearts and in our minds than we do to God? We're told that words can destroy, or words can heal. Words can motivate, or words can tear apart hearts. In fact, the passage today before us notes, it says, with the tongue we praise the Lord our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. So out of the same mouth come both praise and cursing. The words from James. The modern day way of saying that is, as I've said before, you kiss your mother with that mouth? That's what it's asking. You're going to be somebody who talks like that, and then you're going to praise the Lord? That's not the way it works. We've got positive and we've got negative words that we speak. How often do you wish that you could take a word back that you've spoken? Have you experienced that? You said something to somebody before you should have. You said something sharply. You said something in response. You said something in anger. You said something with just not thinking about it first. And you just would love to have been able to grab that word before it got to their ears out and keep it back. But once it goes out, it's there. And words are powerful. And they can break hearts. And they can break relationships. There is nothing more destructive. Nothing more destructive than our words. It destroys lives and relationships. There's an old tale about a young boy who had spread rumors in his village and was being disciplined by the pastor. And the pastor had said, for all those people that you've spread rumors about, for all those people you've talked negatively about, for anybody in the village that you've ever had a bad thought about, or wronged in any way, I want you to take a feather pillow and put a feather in on their doorstep of every single one of those homes in the entire village. So the boy goes out and he accomplishes this task. And when he finally gets back, he's thinking, look, I've done this. It's good. Everything's going to be great now. And then the pastor said, okay, now go and pick them all back up. He's like, well, they're not all going to be there. The wind's going to blow some of them away. Some of them will have gotten stomped down. Not all the feathers are there anymore. I can't go get them all. And the pastor said, that's exactly the way the words are that we speak. Once they're out there, they're out there. And you can't get them back. But if we mind the Lord, then we will mind our tongue. That's where it has to begin. In our relationship with God, to ask Him, just like in all other things, to take this from me, Lord. I have a struggle with this person. And I've got some thoughts about them. I don't need to be talking about it to anybody else. I need to deal with it. And give those to the Lord. Give the relationships to the Lord. Give the co-workers to the Lord. Give the students or the teachers to the Lord. Give all of those in your life to the Lord and recognize that as you look at them, these are children of God. Not all of them are acting as children of God. But all these people around me are children of God or potential children of God at the very least, if they're not believers. And what would Jesus have me say? How would Jesus have me speak? Because we think of Jesus, and what did our Lord do? There's an old children's song that says, be careful, little tongue, what you say. And it's very simple in that thought. And that's the way Jesus kind of spoke. There were those that he accused, those that he had to straighten out, those that were in the wrong that he had to right. And where those cases come up, that's dealing with the sin and dealing with it directly, and that's fine. But Jesus also wasn't one to gossip, wasn't one to rumor, wasn't one to talk negatively about others. He called others hypocrites if they were hypocrites, but he knew. And he could call us hypocrites by the same accord because of the way we've judged others unfairly perhaps in our life now. But his words were not self-righteous. His words were truth when he spoke them. And that's what we need to be, a people who speak truth. Not unfair criticisms, not to tear other people down, but Jesus spoke words of love. And we should speak words of love. He spoke words of concern and compassion. And we should do the same. He spoke words of forgiveness. And there's our model. Jesus, even while he was on the cross, looked at those who had crucified him and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus at another point in his life said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said of the children, let the children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The word of God comes to despairing hearts. The word of God comes to those who are broken and contrite. The word of God comes to you and speaks love and compassion and forgiveness. And we marvel at the mouth of God because when we receive that word into our lives, it's like sweet, sweet, sweet words coming into us because we know of his love for us, his great love for us. And because of that, we need to speak those same kinds of sweet love words of forgiveness to other people, to be fair in our speeches, to talk truths, and not to be a people of gossip and rumors and to tear people down when God would want us to restore relationships. May we guard our mouths and use our tongues not to speak evil, but to speak well, to give forgiveness, to share God's love with those around us. And it all starts with just one simple thought. What's in your mouth? Is it the same as Jesus would have you say? What's in your mouth today? In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.